Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, that's page 61 if you're using the church pew Bible. Exodus chapter 20. Tonight we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, let's begin reading at verse 1. Listen to God's holy word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, O God, that you have shown us how to live in a way that pleases you and in a way that is good for us. And we pray, O God, that as we consider your word tonight, particularly the fourth commandment, that you would sanctify us and that you would conform us into the image of Christ and that you would cause us to love you more and to love the Sabbath more. We pray, asking for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The word Sabbath means cease or rest. And so when we come to the fourth commandment, really it's saying, remember to set apart the rest day. Now, what does that actually look like? What does that mean to set apart the rest day? Well, the Bible gives us lots of clues. It gives us clues, for example, in Isaiah chapter 58, when it says, take back your foot from the Sabbath. The idea there is, you know, in the ancient world, when kings were defeated, the victor would put his foot on the neck of the defeated king. That's the imagery. And God says, take back your foot from the Sabbath. Let the Sabbath breathe. It goes on to say, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, from doing your pleasure, the word there is hephes, from doing your desired thing, from doing your priority on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. Honor it. Listen to this. Not going your own ways or seeking, and you could translate that pursuing, not pursuing your own hefets, your own desired thing, or talking idly. In other words, the fourth commandment says, take a break from yourself. Take a break from the humdrum and demands of your daily lives, of your priorities, and prioritize God on his day. Now, you think that that would be somewhat appetizing. That's like saying to Bertie, hey, Bertie, you will go to the park, and then we will go and have chocolate ice cream afterwards. And yet, it seems to me that so many Christians ignore this fourth commandment, as if it's not part of the Ten Commandments. It seems to me that Christians who honor the Sabbath, who love the Lord's day, are viewed as extremists. It's Pharisees. I mean, who in 21st century America honors the Sabbath? And more pressingly, why should I? Why should I honor the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day? Well, someone just told me before the service, are we going to have a 12-point sermon? I said, no, we're going to have a 5-point sermon with 4 additional points. So I want to begin by asking this question. Why should I keep the Sabbath? And I want to give you 5 reasons. I constrained myself. But 5 reasons why we ought to take this fourth commandment seriously. Why we ought to keep and why we ought to love the Sabbath day. Well, the first reason is because God kept the Sabbath. God kept the Sabbath. You know, we theologians talk about the first use of the law. In other words, the law is a mirror. That's how we describe the Ten Commandments. It's a mirror that when we hold up to ourselves, we can say, okay, I see how far short I fall, and I need Christ. That's what we describe the law as, a mirror. But actually, the Ten Commandments mirror God as well. Have you ever thought of that? The Ten Commandments aren't arbitrary. They reflect God's own nature. They don't just say, this is what God requires, but they say, this is what God is like. So the seventh commandment, don't commit adultery. Why do we not commit adultery? Because God doesn't commit adultery. God is faithful to himself and God is faithful to his church. Christ will never leave nor forsake his bride. Therefore, we are to reflect God who keeps the seventh commandment. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. Why ought we not to covet? Why ought we not to want things that we don't have? Because God keeps the 10th commandment. He's perfectly satisfied in himself, and we should be perfectly satisfied in him, so we don't covet. And so we come to this commandment, and implicit in this commandment is God saying, this is what I'm like, and therefore this is what you're to be like. And we see that God worked 6 days. He made the universe and the planets and the oceans and everything. And then he rested on the 7th day and he was refreshed, to use the language of Exodus 31. And if the omnipotent, all-powerful, infinitely wise God kept the Sabbath day, shouldn't we keep it as well? That's the first reason we should keep the Sabbath, because God kept the Sabbath. The second reason is this, because God commands us to keep it. God commands us to keep it. You know, remember the Sabbath day. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. We don't come to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder, and say, well, that's a suggestion. No, it's a command. And of course, the fourth commandment is a command as well, and that should be enough. God has commanded us to keep the Sabbath day. If he says remember it, then you jolly well remember it. You own the Sabbath because he's commanded us to keep the Sabbath. Now this brings the question, well, do as New Testament believers, as New Testament Christians, do we have to keep the Ten Commandments? And I'll tell you something you already know, that God gave 3 kinds of laws in the Old Testament. He gave the ceremonial law, which prefigures and is fulfilled in Christ. That doesn't apply to us anymore. He gave us the judicial law, which passed away with the nation of Israel. That doesn't apply to us anymore. But then he gave us the moral law, the law that's summed up in the Ten Commandments. And that does. We are bound to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, let me clarify. If you are a Christian, If you're here this evening and you have repented of your sins, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, he is yours and you are his, then you are not under the law with regards to the covenant of works. In other words, you do not have to keep the law in order to earn or contribute to your salvation in any way. Christ did it all. This is Galatians 2, Galatians 3. You're not under the slavery of the law. You're not under the law as the covenant of works. Christ has fulfilled the law for you. You're neither condemned nor justified by the law. But the Ten Commandments, they belong to the covenant of grace, not the covenant of works. What do I mean? Though the law is not binding regarding the covenant, it is binding as a rule of life. In other words, it's your duty. You are obliged to obey the law. As one man said it, we're not under the law, but we're not without the law. And so if you have been redeemed, you've been redeemed to keep the law. We talked about this last time. Look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, I've redeemed you. Now therefore. Verse 2 of chapter 20, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Here is the Ten Commandments. And we see this throughout all of Scripture. In fact, Jesus himself was emphatic about this. In John chapter 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then again, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And then he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And then he says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. If you are a Christian, it is your duty to keep the Ten Commandments. And then we have the question, well, okay, I get the Ten Commandments, but what about the fourth commandment? Do I have to keep the fourth commandment? Do I have to remember the Sabbath day particularly? Of course, apart from being part of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is binding. It's binding in the New Testament. Now, some people will say, well, you know, Christ delivered us from all that Old Testament stuff. Well, yes, in terms of being in bondage to the law. But let me tell you, Christ was a Sabbatarian. Christ didn't come to do away with the law, he says in Matthew 5, but to fulfill the law. In Mark chapter 2 and 3, I don't have time to get into it all tonight, but in Mark chapter 2 and 3, you see the Pharisees going absolutely haywire because Jesus' disciples picked heads of grain in the field on the Sabbath day. And Jesus defended his disciples, and so people say, well then, we don't have to keep the Sabbath. But actually, if you go back and read Mark chapter 2 and 3, Jesus wasn't doing away with the Sabbath. Jesus was against the scribes and Pharisees who'd turned the Sabbath into legalistic bondage. Yeah, the Jews had come up with, I think it was 230 laws. You know, you can't use an alarm clock. You can't cook on the Sabbath. If someone breaks their arm, you can't reset their arm. All these hedges around the Sabbath. And what happened is it became tantamount that if you broke the Pharisees' laws, then you broke the fourth commandment. And Jesus wasn't having any of it. Sinclair Ferguson talked about the Sabbath as a golf course with beautiful fairways. And it is. It's the day we come to worship God and delight in God and meet with our brothers and sisters. And we get a taste of heaven. And Ferguson, we're not on first name terms. But Sinclair says, you know, the Pharisees were like the golf committee that came along and said, well, just in case you have a divot on the fairway, you're only allowed to play from the rough. You see, Jesus was against the scribes and Pharisees who saw the Sabbath as some sort of web of formalistic do's and don'ts in order to appease God. And Jesus is saying, no. But the Sabbath still is binding as a day set aside to spend time with God. Jesus was and Jesus is a Sabbatarian. We are commanded to keep the fourth commandment. The third reason why we ought to keep the fourth commandment is because it enables us to savor God. It enables us to savor God. How wise God is. He knew that we needed a day to devote to him because if we didn't have that day, then we'd forget him. God knew that we would fill out our weeks to the brim with work and education and social events. He knew that we would neglect the means of grace, that we would neglect the children of God. He knew that we would fret and fuss and worry and strive and would frazzle ourselves to death. He knew that we'd be submerged in the here and now to the point that we lost all eternal perspective. He knew, in other words, that we would crowd him out. And so God says, here's the Sabbath. Take a rest. Step back. Be still and know that I, not you, I am God. Withdraw from the demands and the deadlines and the days of your daily burdens and breathe. Breathe me in. Rest. Reset your priorities. See things in their proper place. See me. You need this day to see me. Spurgeon tells this story. He says, I remember a friend telling me that when he was looking for a house in Newcastle, it's the north of England, to let, he was taken to the roof and the agent said to him, the realtor said to him, you see, there is a fine view from here. You can see a long way today, but on Sundays you can see all the way to Durham Cathedral. My friend asked, said Spurgeon, why on Sundays? And the reply was, you cannot see it the rest of the week because of the smoke. But on Sundays, it is usually clear enough to get a glimpse. Spurgeon went on to say, what views some of us have had of heaven and what views of Jesus Christ have been given to us on Sabbath days. We might have seen him in other days if there hadn't been so much smoke from business, care, and sin. But the blessed breath from heaven has blown it all away on this Sabbath day. And we've been able to look even into that which is within the veil. The Sabbath gives us a break from all the fog of business, from all the fog of our lives, from ourselves, so that we can see God and that we can see Jesus Christ and that we can savor him, particularly as our creator and our redeemer. I'm sure you noticed in verse 11, when God tells us to remember the Sabbath day, he points to the fact that he is the creator. That's one of the joys of the Sabbath. We can stop and remember that he is our creator. We can look beyond our fleeting existence. We can look beyond our vaporous to-do list, and we can remember God, that he created us, that he created everything, and that he's almighty and he sustains us, and everything is in his all-powerful hands. Sometimes we need that. We're reminded of God, our creator. We also remember in the Sabbath day that he is our redeemer. It's interesting, in the other presentation of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God tells us to remember the Sabbath, and then he says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In other words, he's saying, you were in bondage to sin. You were enslaved. You were without God and without hope. You were drowning in sin and misery. You were hell bound. But God reminds us that he loved us and that he chose us and he sent his son to die for us. He has redeemed us. And the Sabbath says, remember how I saved you. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the cross of Christ. You need this day so that you do not forget God, but rather you savor him not only as your God, but as your creator and as your redeemer. That's the third reason, to keep the Sabbath, that we might savor God. The fourth reason, we're getting there. The fourth reason that we should keep the Sabbath is because it's for our good. I think people who neglect the Sabbath forget this. The Sabbath was made for us. Remember, God gave Adam paradise. God gave Adam himself. And he said, here's one small thing I want you to do. One small arbitrary thing I want you to do. And in keeping it, Adam was saying, yes, I obey God. I love God. I submit to God. God is mine. I'm satisfied in God. But do you remember what happened? Satan came along and he twisted it all. Look at God. He's mean. He's restrictive. This law is holding you back. If you break this law, life will be so much better for you. And so Adam ate of the fruit. He imagined that something other than God's will would satisfy him. And I think that oftentimes that's how we can view God. That's how we can view the Ten Commandments. That's how we can view the Fourth Commandment. You know, God's laws, they're harsh and restrictive. The Sabbath day holds me back. God's such a killjoy. If I just break the Sabbath and do whatever I want on Sunday, then I'll be happy. Then things will be better. I'll have a better life. And it's a lie. It's Satan's lie. Disobeying God's law, apart from dishonoring God, is to misunderstand what his commandments are all about. One man said it like this: freedom is not doing whatever you want. It's enjoying the benefits of doing what we should. The Sabbath is freedom. The Sabbath is freedom. I won't do a William Wallace, you know, freedom, but the Sabbath is freedom. And so the Ten Commandments say, look, here are blueprints for a God-honoring life. This is how you honor God, but this is how to live in a way that is for your good. The commandments, including the fourth commandment, they're like the signposts on the road. They're like the speed limits. This is how you drive safely. This is how you don't make a mess of your life. The Sabbath is for your good. It's a signpost that directs you away from the humdrum and distractions of this life. To God, it's for your good. It's good for you. You remember at the beginning of this sermon, I referred to Isaiah 58, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath. In verse 14 of that chapter, if you keep the Sabbath, this is what God says, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. It's on the Sabbath day that we draw into God's presence. It's on the Sabbath day that we join the angels and our brothers and sisters in choirs of worship. It's on the Sabbath day that God speaks to us. It's on the Sabbath day that our affections are reorientated, that our earthly concerns are put into perspective. It's on the Sabbath that our souls are comforted, that our resolves are strengthened, that our sins are forgiven, and that our blessings are pronounced. It's this day that we see and glorify God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's for our good. You know, there's a rugby player called, rugby is like American football, only better. There's a rugby player called Ewan Murray who played for the Scottish national team. And Ewan Murray is a Christian, and he came to our church in Wales one day to give his testimony. And it really was a powerful testimony. And there was a Q&A at the end of it all, and someone asked Ewan Murray to the effect, is it not difficult? On the days that you would be playing for Scotland and aren't, is it not difficult not to at least look at the scores and wonder how the match is going? And Ewan Murray said this to completely miss the point of the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath wasn't just a duty for him to prioritize God over rugby. No, the Sabbath was the day that he got to savor Jesus Christ, and he saw the Sabbath as for his good. It was for his blessing to meet with God rather than play professional sports. The Sabbath is for our good, and how many spiritual toils and snares would we avoid if we just prioritized this day for God and took our eyes away from ourselves? How much more would we delight in God if we made this day special, if we made this day God's day? The Sabbath is for your good. And then fifthly and finally, the Sabbath is an astonishing testimony to God and to others. The Sabbath is an astonishing testimony to God and to others. When we keep the Sabbath, we are saying to God, you're God. You're my God. I am your child, and I belong to you. In Exodus chapter 31, God talks about the Sabbath again. And it's interesting the way it's presented there in Exodus 31. Listen to this. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. And then later he says, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. Listen, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh he rested and was refreshed. When we keep the Sabbath, we're saying, God, this is yours, and I am yours. This is a sign that I'm keeping. This is a covenant between us, that you are my God. And not only is it a testimony to God, it's a testimony to the world. Keeping the Sabbath is such a witness to other people that we don't belong to this world, but that we belong to God. Listen to what David Strain says. He says, for a few people today, an hour or two on Sunday mornings is occupied with public worship, but for most people, the idea that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, an entire day set apart for worship, rest, and ministry, is entirely novel. Listen to this. And yet, in an age of frenetic and unrelenting busyness, when technology allows us to stay plugged into the world 24/7, when entertainment becomes the de facto purpose of so many lives, nothing could be more countercultural. And listen, nor bear more eloquent testimony to a Christian's citizenship in another world than a well-spent Lord's Day. And so we come back to the question that we asked right at the beginning. Why should I keep the Sabbath? And the answer is because God kept it. And because God commands you to keep it. And it because it enables you to savor God as your creator and your redeemer. And because it's for your good. And because it's a tremendous testimony that you are God's and that he is yours. That's the five reasons why we ought to keep the Sabbath. And now that we are all Sabbatarians, if we weren't already before, I just want to take a brief moment. I've pretty much run out of time, but just four pointers. Not in a Pharisaical way, but here's four helpful ways to keep the Sabbath well. I'll be quick. First of all, plan ahead. Plan ahead. Plan ahead spiritually. Pray beforehand. If you can, read the passages that we're going to consider in the Lord's Day. Confess your sin. Be ready spiritually. Don't walk into church sort of unthinkingly. Be ready to worship God on the Sabbath. Plan ahead physically. If you're like me, iron your shirt the night before. Fill your car with petrol or gas. Don't stay up late so that you come in absolutely frazzled on the Lord's Day. Plan ahead. I know that there's RTS students here, and I would say to you, one of the most wonderful things in my life was coming to find the preciousness of resting in the Lord's Day in seminary. I was brought up not to watch TV in the Lord's Day, but I didn't really love it. And then I got to seminary and I saw people around me who loved the Lord's Day, and I began to love it, and my life was transformed. Not having to do Greek in the Lord's Day, it was amazing. Whether you're a seminarian or not, whether you're a young person, you're a student, plan ahead. Don't do your assignments in the Lord's Day. Get them out of the way that you can enjoy God in the Lord's Day. And dare I say it, parents, do not let your children slay the Sabbath on the altar of academic advancement. Do not let your children slay the Sabbath on the altar of academic advancement. Plan ahead. Secondly, be prepared to make sacrifices. Christians who honor the Sabbath aren't only swimming against the tide with the world, but the church. Be prepared to make sacrifices, like Ewan Murray, who refused to play for Scotland. Now, whatever that looks like for you, the classic question is, you know, can I watch American football on the Sabbath? Well, why would you ever want to watch American football? But the answer is obviously, does watching football on the Lord's Day, whatever it is, 2 hours plus all the commercials, does that help you put everything aside to savor God as your creator and redeemer? I'm going to stand on some toes. Eating out. Eating out. If you go back, we don't have time, but if you go back and read verse 10, the seventh day, there's a Sabbath to the Lord. I'm going to read it anyway. And you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male, your servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner within your gates. This principle of we are to keep the Sabbath and to the best of our ability enable others all around us to keep the Sabbath as well. Whatever that is, we have to make sacrifices. Third, Attend church unfailingly. Devote yourself to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let's be so faithful to God on the Sabbath day, and particularly in his house, that our children will never have to ask, am I going to church today? And fourth, and you knew this was coming, evening worship. And you're all here. Evening worship. Why? What is so important that it can keep me away from meeting God and hearing the words of life preached on a Sunday evening? Evening worship is not only biblical, it is Numbers 28, Psalm 92, Psalm 134, Acts 20. It's not only historical, but it helps us. It helps us to set aside the whole day as we bookend the Lord's Day with worship. It helps us to keep the Sabbath. So let me close by saying, honor this day. Love this Queen of Days. Be obedient to God in making Sunday God's day. And see if he will not reveal himself to you more and more. See if you don't delight in the Lord and ride the heights of the earth. May God grant us the grace to honor the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you once again for the Sabbath day. A day to put everything aside and simply come and delight in you, our God. Oh Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not love this day, that by your grace you would help them to love and keep this day to your glory, that they would delight in it as they delight in you. Help us, O God, and sanctify us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.